둘, 셋, 파!
For Hey Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I was just talking about Life's Rich Pageant yesterday and singing its praises, and there's Stipe right behind you.
Consequence Podcast Network.
And welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here and checking out the series. Please do hit that subscribe button. You know what to do. Like what you see, what you hear. I put out three new interviews every single week. New ones every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. A great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, or YouTube for the video versions. Anywhere you get your podcast from, subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. That's me, I'm Kyle Meredith, today talking with Louise Post. The Veruca Salt co-founder has a brand new demos collection. It's called But I Love You Without Mascara, a collection that preceded 2000's Revolver, came right after, she started writing it right after 97's Eight Arms to Hold You. So we're going to be discussing how the songs were written at a time when the original lineup was breaking up, and the lyrics that directly reflected her relationship with bandmate Nina Gordon at that time, as well as the famed late 90s relationship that also inspired one of the songs, and having Pat Smear and James Iha guest on the closing track. Louise is also going to tell us about the possible plans to release more of these demo collections in the future, but not before her upcoming solo record. It's going to be the first one under her own name, probably due out next year, and even tells us about how one of the songs takes inspiration from Nirvana and some of the others from Phineas and Billie Eilish, among others. So let's do it. We're discussing But I Love You Without Mascara. It's Kyle Meredith with Louise Post.
Hi.
It's great to have you on here. You've got, I'd say new music, and that's sort of true. It's new to us, right? But you've been digging into the archives for a bit. There's a new release called But I Love You Without Mascara, demos 97 to 98. I first got to say, what a treat this has been for the fans right here. What made you go crate digging?
Well, I digitized some old footage, some old like home movies from the camcorder that I had out in the 90s, like following my friends around and on tour and everything. And I was doing some documenting back then. And I had this friend of mine named Matt Fass, who was the drummer on a couple of the songs that I demoed at that time. And he kept bugging me to release these songs. And honestly, I'd forgotten about them. And I said, "Do you have them?" And he said, "Yeah, I have them. One of them is not only my favorite song of yours, but one of my," he said, "it's my all-time favorite song," to be honest, that's what he said. And I was like, "All right, then send them to me and I'll give it a listen." And that was a few years ago. And then he did it again. I did a collaboration with him on a song he put out called Angels Are Singing, which is a tribute to Chris Cornell. It's a lovely song under his band moniker, Backyard Star. And at the time he's like, all right, so when are we doing But I Love You Without Mascara? Because I had already decided that was the name, because it's the last thing I say on one of the songs. And I said it to my best friend. And he's like, I said, oh my God, I have to do that. I have to do that. And finally I digitized this footage. And around the same time I told another friend about it. And she said, let's just make it happen. And it worked out so beautifully because I didn't know really that anyone would care or listen or, you know, want to buy it, want to hear it. But it was an important thing it turned out for me to do, because it really reconnected me with a lot of fans who did actually care, did want to listen, and were interested in demos and were interested in that time, that chapter. And what I did with the footage was I learned how to edit just to make this video. I grabbed a couple other demos from two different sessions, and kept it simple, made it short, but made a video for the song Used to Know Her. The song came out on what became Resolver, but which was my first Veruca Salt record without the original band members. And it was an album of just heartbreak, really. And we now in the band, you know, proper, we call it Veruca Starship, just to be clear. That's our little loving moniker for that chapter of Veruca Salt. But the song Used to Know Her actually came about, you know, in 97, turning into 98. And I started writing it about my stepmother, with whom I had always had this contentious relationship. And it turned into, and then I worked on it with Nina before we split up. And then I released it on Resolver, and it came this sort of emblematic of our breakup. And it always, people assumed it was about her. So I just reimagined it and didn't use footage of Nina, just used footage of my best friend at the time and my other best friend and my roommate and my other bestie, and just that, tried to capture that time. But it was also sort of, I guess what this EP became for me was a gentle closing of the door on that chapter and on the past, and temporarily on Veruca Salt, because we're just on a hiatus and I'm making a solo record. And so it has felt really right to do this. And the songs they're very dear, you know, and I look back and I do feel like I used to know that person, and I'm not that person anymore. Although I have a lot of like tender feelings and empathy for that person, I feel very different now.
Yeah. It's interesting, you know, perception, you know, how fans listen to it and what they want to read into it. Because of course we don't know what they're actually about unless you say it, that track right there. I mean, even listening to, it's obviously a heartbreak EP. I think that part does come across, but you get those with the line in Float. Can it be, my anchor is floating away from me. I see her exploding so far at the sea. And yeah, we go, who is that about? Is that about the band? Is that, you know, those moments do seem to kind of flow, I guess, to stay along with that whole metaphor of the float.
Well, that was, I mean, I'll tell you straight out, that was absolutely about Nina. I was like, you know, that was clearly about her. But then the next verse I say, can it be my sister is going, I can't remember now, so far from me, she's tired of knowing our family. And that was a double entendre, because my big sister left, she was 9 years older than I, and she left for college when I was a kid, you know, and that was devastating to have my sister go, leave St. Louis and go to California. And I feel like I lost her, you know? And so I think this was, the loss of Nina was reminiscent of that feeling. So that was also cathartic, you know, to finally write those lyrics about that moment. I was like, wow, that, I've been holding on to that for a long time. But it was really like a moment, it was a moment in time that was so short, but it occupied so much psychological space for so long for me. And in a way, like, you know, I really want to put that to bed. Like, it's, and that's what this has become. And that's what's been personally, you know, nice for me, is just to go like, okay, I see you, 97. Like, let's put this all to bed now. It's just, it's like time for that to maybe be heard and say goodbye to that, you know, because I really felt at that moment, like the two people that I thought were the loves of my life were not who I thought they were. And it was so, I was really like knocked out of the knees. I felt like I'd been hit by a truck and I was trying to make sense of it. And I'm not unique in that everyone has been through something like this. I hope not to that extent, but you know, people go through stuff like this. And then the question came up, like, is it me? Am I the one? Am I the common denominator? Am I too much to bear? Am I too intense? And there came a chapter in my life after that where I was like, you know what? I'm not going to confront people about stuff. I'm going to be low maintenance. I'm just going to be, and I don't think I succeeded at all. But I tried really hard to be low maintenance. But yeah, but that was sort of it. Like, you know, some of those lyrics are like, you know, you need to go soar without me. Like I'm too dark. It's like that, the unbearable lightness of being, that beautiful book and movie with Juliette Binoche and Daniel Day-Lewis. I'll never forget the line when she says, I'm just so dark and you're so light, something like that. And that's how I was feeling at that time. Like my moodiness or whatever stuff I'm carrying around from my past is too heavy for you. So you need to go soar without me. And those songs really were like a release of people, you know?
That's interesting too, because you know, we hear so many artists talking about writing as a form of catharsis. And for a lot of people, that's in the moment. This song helps them within that moment. Unless I'm getting it wrong here, I almost get the feeling like you got that moment 25 years after, or you know, 23 years after. Like that moment of help through writing that song may have taken a little bit long. Like were these songs tainted by the era in that moment?
I put one of them, of the four I recorded in LA, I put one of them became a B-side on Resolver. Of the two I recorded in Chicago, one of them ended up on Resolver, but the other ones, I don't know if I didn't think they were good enough, or, you know, some songs just can't make it on the record. I think they're so confessional, and I'm not to say that anything on Resolver wasn't, but something about these songs, they were just so confessional that it was, I think, too much for me to like revisit them in a studio setting and do them properly.
They're almost like, what's the word I'm looking for? Meditations in a way. I mean, these are long songs. A lot of them, you know, clock well over 5 minutes. I mean, you were like, I don't know how much you remember about the moments you were writing these songs or not, but you're aware of how they sounded. Like, did you envision them as thinking like, this is going to be another Veruca album, you know, these songs?
Well, yeah, for sure. I was writing these demos for what would be our next record together as a band. At the same time, there was something, in hindsight, there's something to the fact that I was demoing on my own in LA without the band. I think I intended to bring them to the band and then flesh them out as Veruca Salt songs, but there was also something in the air. There was also like, there was some kind of question mark. And I remember being somewhat conscious of that then, sort of wanting to strike out on my own, but not being ready to make that move on my own. And we had much more in us as a band. We just personally couldn't hold it together. And, you know, thankfully we finally pulled it together and made Ghost Notes and reunited in 2012. You guys wrote a really kind review about us for that record. It was, and I adored that record and I adored that whole chapter. It was the most cathartic, triumphant, amazing, you know, record to have made at that time. And we're all really proud of it.
The review at Consequence, and we still play Laughing in the Sugar Bowl and Saint Me on WFBK. I mean, that's, to me, those songs are as great as, you know, all the songs that you all are, you know, the classics that you might be known for. I mean, that's such a great record still.
Thank you so much.
Right now.
Thank
yeah. You. No, I love that. You know, and as we talk a little bit more about this one, Mascara for shorts. I don't know if we're already shortening it or whatever, but
Oh, yeah.
because that's the thing, you know, as we talk about some obvious heartache within it, you get to a song like Color You Black, and that's, it feels like this is now someone that's keeping their guard up, you know, so for whatever has happened, that's how I'm hearing it anyway, is like, and now the guard is up right here. Like, can you talk a little bit? I personally like that one quite a bit, so I'd love to hear about it.
Thank you. That's definitely my favorite of the bunch. It's funny that I never released it. And I actually played it for Nina when we were working on Ghost Notes, because we had various demos that we had done over the years that we hadn't released or had released in some form, but we gave each other each a mix of these songs to put on the chopping block and maybe put do together. So that was one of them, and she loved it, but we just never went back to it. Anyway, that was the one I was really referencing when I was saying, yeah, or thinking about the lyrics. That was when I was definitely putting up the guard. That was just a beautiful way of putting it, Kyle. I think that's really exactly what was happening. Like, if this can happen, like, you know, the guy I was with, I thought would be my forever guy. And he, you know, wasn't capable of it, didn't think the same way, but it was very clear to me that that's where we were going. And he stepped out on me, and in a public way. And I was so blindsided and so shocked. And I just decided at that moment, nothing, I'm not going to let anything ever hurt me like that again. That's it. And you go soar and be who you need to be, but I'm going to be over here in my corner, and I'm never going to let anyone hurt me like that again. And I haven't.
Well, I can completely understand why you might not have wanted that one out right away, but, as vulnerable as it is, but now that with time, I'm so happy you released that one, because it's a beautiful, beautiful statement right there.
Thank you. It's definitely, it was a moment in time, and I don't wish that on anybody, but I'm really glad I wrote the song when I did. I'm glad that I made something of that moment that was meaningful, and I'm glad that that other people seem to identify with it, and it seems to resonate with some.
With all that said, there does seem to be a little bit of camaraderie, especially when you get to the end with Complete Me, and you've got some folks on there, Pat, yeah. Schmier, James Iha, I know two of them. How did they end up on the song? Is it like everybody hanging out in the studio? Is that a late night party? What is that?
Yeah, I mean, it was all kind of a big party at that time, and I had forgotten that Pat sang on it, and I remember James being there, but my drummer Matt for that session reminded me, yeah, Pat was there too, don't forget, because I sent him a copy of the credits, and he's like, I have video of us with me with Pat during that time. I did not include And Used to Know Her, but we were hanging in LA, and I must have said, like, come on over, and like, I need gang vocals, and I just had everyone going la 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 la. It was just really fun. So it was really truly just like everyone in the studio, come on over, let's hang out.
That's kind of a fun part, especially when you know who's doing it, you know, that's to get that in there. So yeah. Is there more to these? You talked about how it's kind of been in you know, cool to see people embrace demos. Do you see releasing more from the vault like this?
You know, because people have liked it so much and the vinyl went so fast, like before I could blink my eye, it's been presented to me, proposed to me to do another one. And I do have certainly a lot more in the vault. That would be really fun. It'd be really fun to do that. It'd be fun to do one with Nina too, because we have a lot of demos that we did on 4-track together. But so yeah, that could happen, but I'm gonna wait, because I'm focusing on the record that I'm making. That is the first record I've ever released. Well, you know, mascara aside, now that we call it that, under my own name, under the Veruca Salt moniker. So it's like, you know, wonderful and terrifying and exhilarating and all of those things. Yesterday just this last weekend, I was driving my kid up to camp, and they had just bought a bunch of shirts from Hot Topic, and one of them was a Nirvana shirt. And not so long ago, they were blasting Smells Like Teen Spirit in the car, and I was like, how do you know this song? Oh no, I know what happened. It was the opposite. I was I was yelling. I was singing a lot. I was like, I guess we're rocking out to Smells Like Teen Spirit now. I don't know how or why, but so I was singing along and my kid goes, how do you know the song, Mom? I'm like, wow. I was like, how do I know this song? I'm like, how do you know this song? You're 12. And they're like, TikTok. So anyway, that said, they bought a Nirvana shirt off of at Hot Topic. And I was like, really? We're doing this now? And they said, it's trending. I'm like, okay, here's the deal. If you're going to wear that Nirvana shirt, you're going to know the music. So find Bleach on Spotify and let's go. And so we listened to that. And the song, it inspired, well, eventually I will tell you that we got past swap meet and I was like, you got to turn this off. I'm too depressing. There's something about it, that particular record. I was like, I can't take anymore. And I was like, can you find me something poppy and happy? And they're like, I got you, Mom. So they put on I Like You by Post Malone, which is my jam. And then I was like, thank you. And then we sang along to that and bopped our way up the 5 freeway. But anyway, but it inspired this song that I just wrote for the record. And the record is much more, the record I'm making right now is, I don't know. I never know what to call things, but like I never understood alternative rock. That was ridiculous to me. I was like, I think it's just rock. I don't understand why you have to call it alternative, but okay. Now I don't care, but now it's like, I think what I'm doing, when I think of indie rock, I think of, I guess it's more indie pop. I guess you would say that coming out on independent, it's kind of pop, but it's not pop like Taylor Swift pop. It's like, it's certainly influenced by everyone I've listened to. And this, it hasn't been like overtly rock and roll, not really. And so I wrote this song having been listening to Bleach that was like, why don't I just write a rock song? I just wrote the song. And I thought the cool thing about, it's pretty dark. And the cool thing about doing this on my own is that I don't have to pass it through the Nina Gordon pop filter, because she'll go like, oh, wheeze. It's like Laughing in the Sugar Bowl. I had a version where she was like, I can't find my way in. We have to keep working on it. And finally we did, and it landed. And I was so happy that it was ours, you know? And this song, I know that it's like, doesn't have to go through, I don't have to pass it by anybody. But then I brought it into the studio and my producer was like, wow, it's kind of dark, man. Jesus. He's like, can we just make it a little more Iggy Pop, like add some hand claps and some keys, some piano? I'm like, okay, I hear you. Like, let's just do this. We can work on this and try to ever make everyone happy. But it was so cathartic to write this song. And that said, it's not really typical of what the record sounds like. So it'll be interesting to see what comes of this. Like, through my husband is an audiophile and it is a vinyl addict. And I mean, our house is so full of albums, so full of records that he has to start selling some to get them out because there's not room. And it's great because he turns me on to bands like This Is the Kid or Yellow Ostrich, or like he has every Damian Jurado record. He's a giant Trail of Dead fan. I mean, he loves Sleep. And while we're on the topic, my husband is in a band called the Brontosaur that just finished his record, and it's his epic masterpiece. And I cannot wait for it to be out and people to hear it. And he's working on this intense, like 12 page booklet right now. And it's going to be a double vinyl. And he's just, it's gotta be right, you know, cause he's really into vinyl art and vinyl colors. And he found the right artist and the artist loves the music and he's just geeking out over that right now. And I'm really excited for the Brontosaur to come out, this album. But anyway, I got lost in my story.
What an exciting time for both of you all though, to be, you know, creating all this stuff. And I was thinking back to, you know, the beginning of the story when your kids ask you, you know, how do you know this song, which is hilarious. I'd had this behind me, this disc behind me, which was a CD-ROM from Blender. And the headline I hated, so I've had it hidden, but it just works so funny for now that it says The Next Nirvana from Veruca Salt. It also says, or B Great Breeders, which, you know, it's
Nice. So glad they got that in there.
Yeah, but I love that. You know, Veruca Salt, the next Nirvana. That's
That's really nice. I didn't even see that there.
You're hiding over my shoulder, just peeking over there.
That's so sweet. We took that picture was taken at famous venue in San Francisco at the
Fillmore.
Yeah, the Fillmore. I kept thinking the Forum. I'm like, no, it was at the Fillmore backstage before we opened for Hole. And what I was going to say was that my kid is really into pop and they have really good taste. Like I really appreciate their taste. It's not just bland pop, but they got really into Billie Eilish. And I just inadvertently became a fan, and then became a fan of her brother Phineas, and just saw Phineas at this surprise show at the Troubadour here in LA. And so it's like this, the record that I'm making now is more of like this pop infusion, but it's also influenced by I also love Imagine Dragons, and my world just sort of opened up because both the two people in my house are introducing me to so much different stuff and I'm listening to it all. And it was kind of the medicine during the pandemic. Sorry, the pandemic is still alive and well, but during the lockdown and the quarantine and during that period of time, music just sort of was the balm.
I just had Phineas on the show, and yeah, he is incredible. Just, you know, what he does, but that's exciting. I mean, hearing, you know, that this is where you're coming from on this, like, I cannot wait to hear what all this actually means in the songs and in the sounds. Do you know the release plan yet? Is that something you can talk about?
It's funny. I'm having a meeting with later today at the studio. The guy who runs my record label, which is what Ghost Notes came out on, El Camino, is coming by the studio just to check it out and see what we're doing. And it's being produced by Matt Drenick of Battle Me. And he's produced a bunch of records. He has a record label called Get Loud. And he's also a formidable musician and did all the music for Sons of Anarchy and has released tons of albums. So he's my dude. Like I was not in the mood on any of this to go like shop my wares or like call people like cold, like just get in touch with people and say, like, can you listen to my songs? That said, after this album, I'm not beneath sending it to Phineas and saying, if you have time, if you ever have time, would you considering producing me like a song, whatever it is? Like, I adore him and I think the world of him. And just met him also after the Olivia Rodrigo show, which she covered Seether. So I went to that and
I didn't know you were there. I remember seeing the thing with her doing it, but I don't think I knew that you were there as well.
Oh yeah. I was there in LA. I was there at the Greek. And then there was an after show and Phineas was there and my kid just geeked out and just went up to him and took a selfie. And then he was very sweet. He was so sweet and so humble. And then I totally geeked out and approached him and met his lovely girlfriend and, you know, and told him how much his work means to me. So anyway, we can move on from Phineas, but I didn't want to get that in there.
Manifesting is what we're doing, right? That's what people say. We're just putting exactly that out there in the world. So
putting it out there. Yeah.
He's a great producer too. I've been following him on that. I mean, and he does score work. See, you said move on, and what did I do? I just have more praise for Phineas.
Okay, we can keep going with it. I could talk about Phineas all day. I'm so in love with his new record. Like, I can't get over it.
Yeah. Well, let me throw it back to you again. But I Love You Without Mascara. Demo is 97, 98. This is such a great time capsule, and it's so great to hear these songs. I'm so happy that you did put these out. I'm so looking forward to hearing what this new album is going to sound like with all these influences you're talking about. I mean, seriously, Louise, you've been such a great songwriter and important. The music that you made has been important to me throughout my life. So I'm so happy you're continuing to do it.
That's really nice to hear. That's the ultimate compliment. It means the world to me. And I can't wait to release this album. It's going to come out in 2023 to answer your question. And hopefully I'll be doing some touring and possibly releasing a single later in 2022.
All right. It's the beginning of a new career, a solo career, officially.
Yeah, it is that.
Keep it going.
I plan to. You know what? I feel like I'm being called to do this by something bigger than myself. Maybe it's not like I'm dying to make a record and go on tour. I honestly don't feel that way. I like to kick it with my family and do other stuff. I even thought about going to nursing school because I really want to do that. I don't have time though, because I have to make this blasted record. So I need a lot of lifetimes to do all the stuff I want to do, but this is what I'm doing now because I feel really compelled to do it. I just feel like I have to.
Well, we'll be there for it. I cannot wait to hear it.
Thanks, Kyle.
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk about it today.
Oh, definitely. Anytime.
My thanks to Louise Post, But I Love You Without Mascara is now available, and looking forward to that, that solo album next year as well. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Before you get out, hit that subscribe button. 3 interviews every week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, to keep you up to date on your favorite artists. Discover some new ones. iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, or YouTube for the video versions. Wherever you get your podcasts from, subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Then after that, head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern. An hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews. That's Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots, Facebook, Instagram, mostly Twitter. All 3 of them, the address is at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
You look young for that. I can't imagine you've been doing it that long. You could be like 28, 27. I don't know. You really look young.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
With the Redfin app, you'll know the moment your next place hits the market. Whether you're looking to buy your dream home or rent a sweet apartment, give Redfin your gotta-have-it wish list of property features, and you'll receive real-time notifications tailored just for you. Ready to see it up close and personal? Scheduling a tour is just a tap away. Don't wait to find your perfect match. Download the Redfin app and start searching today.